This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
It's Mike Shope.
You might be mocking me or you might be staunchly agreeing with me. I can't tell.
I'm mocking you.
And the Bulldog.
What is Fozzie Bear's role in this production?
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Still haven't recovered, by the way, from the mocking.
Oh, yeah, well.
It's been years and I still am emotionally scarred by it. To have it happen publicly. You can work at this job for a long time and still never get comfortable with it.
It's the perfect tone of voice.
That guy.
It's perfect.
I was being mocked, and I'm still scarred. There it is. Well, I think the rest of the NFL is being mocked by the Chiefs, right? At this point. Is it a big joke, all of this in Kansas City? Come on. How could you not laugh?
Yep.
8-0. Every game is close. Back-to-back Super Bowls. It continues. Here to face up to all this is our friend Alex Gold out of Kansas City. 96.5, new station, sort of new brand since we talked last, Alex. So hopefully that's going well.
Yeah, it definitely is. A switch to FM. We were excited. It's something that probably should happen a while ago, so it's good to be on FM, and certainly having the Chiefs on our station now as well is a great thing. But do your listeners really want to hear from me? Honestly, do they want to hear from me in Kansas City at this point in time? Aren't they just sick of the Chiefs and me, I guess, at this point?
Dude, I don't even think I want to hear from you at this point, and I work here.
I might have wanted to consider this before calling you. I didn't consider this.
Well, I've been living over here nobody's too good for the Bills, and the record doesn't change that. But nobody looks so good that I can't see the Bills beating them. And, I think in some way that is a disservice or disrespect to the Chiefs. The record, they just always find a way here. And, it's not always that they don't get a penalty called on them or something. I mean, Mahomes was excellent when it was needed last night. And that's a hard score to beat when he's on like that.
Right. I mean, we've seen this story so many times. I mean, we joke here locally that every Chiefs game is the same. There's a mistake maybe they have where you could also see at one point where they might have been in a double-digit win territory, and the next thing you know, they're sweating out a game. And obviously last night was another example of that. And there seems to always be the one play that matters most they make, right? I mean, I guess that's a mark of great teams in sports, period. I don't care what sport it is, but you have the star player that makes the play. You get the goal line stop like they did a week ago against the Raiders, or were you able to just make that one play, even if you struggle at times in other areas? And they always, for the last three, four years, right, have been able to do that. And that's, of course, a credit to Andy Reid and the consistency that they have within the organization. But you said at the beginning there, I mean, Scott Van Pelt, I thought, was correct last night in postgame, even on ESPN, when he was saying that the Chiefs look beatable, yet they're unbeatable. They're unbeaten.
Right.
I mean, that's where they're at.
So, I'm still kind of reeling from your statement about, do the fans want to hear from you? maybe not, but the Chiefs are, I think, Bulldog, you would say too, the Chiefs are the one other team that we're kind of focused on. I mean, the AFC East is in shambles, Alex. I mean, I wasn't expecting that. I wasn't expecting the Bills to be minus 10,000 or something by Halloween. I mean, which they kind of almost were. They're four games up. So, and that's kind of, that Kansas City has had those years in the AFC West. Not exactly so far this year, but it really is all about Kansas City. Cincinnati has a losing record. The Ravens even have three losses. This can change, but the Chiefs are here next week. And the Chiefs are really what it's about, I think, for the Bills. I mean, overall, but also like in the present, in their effort to get the one seed, because it does look like for them that the division is kind of already theirs.
No question. Yeah, I think the number one seed conversation is the Chiefs and the Bills. I understand the Steelers are sitting there and would say, hey, wait, what about us? I just don't believe Russell Wilson and that team is capable of getting to 14 wins, because, guys, I think that's what it's going to take. And to me, the Chiefs and Bills are the only two teams that can get to 14 wins, in my opinion. And that's why the game next week is so massive. I mean, and we were even talking here locally today on our show, on and off the air, just like next week against Buffalo might be the last, like, truly big game that the Chiefs have, depending on what the Texans or Steelers are doing in December. And so, you know, that we're already kind of looking ahead to next week just for our station purposes even, because that game – I don't know if you guys agree. I mean, if Kansas City were to win that one, I think the one seed is over. If not, then it's going to be a fun stretch to see what happens between the Bills and Chiefs. I think Buffalo needs that one, obviously, head-to-head to stay in the number one seed conversation. But they're the only threat for it for Kansas City. I mean, how many times have – this is now, what, 4 years I've been going on your show, you going on our show, talking about the Chiefs and Bills with a big regular season game and potentially number one seed implications.
Right, and the one we've seen all kinds of different versions of that matchup, but what we've not seen any of these years the Bills have been at this status, contender status, Super Bowl contender status, is them getting the one. And for me, yeah, I was looking ahead to this game, really like just hoping for a KC loss somewhere. That's why last night stings so badly with Tampa having that look at a 2-point conversion to put the game away. Although there still would have been time for KC to put a field goal in on over top of them, I suppose. I don't suppose, there definitely would have been time. We live in a town where 13 seconds happened, so yes, there was time. But now without that, and like, I don't know, I mean, the thing I've been saying about the Chiefs all year, Alex, is like, it feels to me like any game they played, they could have lost. And so that's like, I guess I'm still got to cling to that with Denver coming in this week before this big showdown with these two teams. The other part of it is the Bills' schedule after this week in Indy. They've got the Chiefs and they've got the Niners and they've got the Lions and they've got the Rams, and it gets pretty nasty looking. Not that the Chiefs have a joyride, but I don't know.
It's closer.
In one way, I sort of feel like the Chiefs could do the Bills a favor if they run away with the one seed, because then the Bills can maybe just sort of play to rest their guys and not worry about having to play all the way to the wire.
Yeah, I think there's probably some truth to that. I mean, I think strength of schedule-wise, too, we were looking it up, that the Chiefs and Bills are that sounds way tougher than the Chiefs, but I think strength of schedule-wise is actually they're both very similar the rest of the season remaining. But that stretch you guys have coming up definitely is a little more challenging than what Kansas City has post-Buffalo, including a game against Carolina and Cleveland, I think, on the horizon as well. I think for Kansas City, the dynamic that you brought up there about what happens if Buffalo realizes the one seed is not in reach, could that actually, in a weird way, be somewhat beneficial from a how you approach the rest of the year? I mean, the flip side here in Kansas City, I've refused to talk about it, but if Kansas City gets past Buffalo with a win and is still undefeated, I said I won't talk undefeated stuff until they beat Buffalo. And if they beat Buffalo, then I think it becomes a real conversation. And then you get into, well, you know, then you're talking about the one seed. You know, you would get a bye in the wild card round, but how do you approach that the rest of the way?
Right.
And that becomes, I don't want to say a distraction, but it definitely becomes a really interesting way for Andy Reid to maybe have to handle this thing down the stretch, because I'm under the belief if they got to that point, and they got a long ways to go, including beating Buffalo. I don't know how you prevent your team from trying to make that kind of history on top of the three-peat history. So I believe they would end up playing the starters late in the season.
Thinking about like sort of my quick interjection about the two team schedules, it's got to be the division opponents that sort of evens that out. And I don't know. I feel like the Jets are still pretty, like, at least a little bit respectable. And maybe, I mean, who's a better team, the Jets or Denver? I don't know. Like that's kind of close for me, but Denver has two or so more wins.
Yeah, I think Denver's going to fall off here quite a bit. I think they're going to fall apart here with their schedule coming up.
They might. Chargers, too. Chargers look pretty good. So the team, though, I mean, we know the overall here, the macro in Kansas City, the back-to-back championships, and then this particular season where they're just, I don't want to say getting away with it. They're probably the better team in each of these games, but they're living on the wire a little bit here. How, if you look past the record and just think about them either this year versus previous seasons or what, I mean, the post-Tyreek Hill era, maybe, Alex, like, is this Chiefs team as good enough to win? I mean, they probably can't win every week by six and go all the way. I mean, that's probably going to be tough. So are they good enough where you think like there's room for improvement, or, you know, how do they compare for you to last year's team, for instance?
So I think last year changed everything for the mindset of a lot of people here in Kansas City. We all know the wide receiver issues, and they led the league in drops, and yet their defense was top five in multiple categories. And then come playoff time, suddenly they weren't turning the ball over anymore, and Patrick Mahomes played great in the postseason, and the rest is history. And so it's really tough to tell anybody in Kansas City that you don't do this well enough this year to overcome that to win a ring again, you know, because and it's a really tough thing to say, well, they don't have good enough left tackle play because they got a bunch of inexperience. It's awfully tough to tell anybody in Kansas City that that's what's going to prevent them from winning. Now, I'll tell you, in terms of where they're at, I mean, they knew they needed to fix the wide receiver room, and unfortunately for them, Rashee Rice is out for the year. Hollywood Brown's going to miss 90% of the season, might come back come playoff time. But then now they go and they add DeAndre Hopkins. And so there's a lot of fans now, after seeing what he did last night against Tampa in just his second game and seeing that connection, that all right, they're going to be fine at wide receiver, and come playoff time, there's a chance they have a healthy D-Hop with a healthy Juju and Hollywood Brown suddenly back in the picture. Oh, and Isaiah Pacheco's not playing right now, guys, and suddenly Kareem Hunt is off the street and playing terrific at the running back spot, and they could have a 1-2 punch. So there's a lot of belief here that they're making it work even better than they did last year with a wide receiver room, and they might be better positioned health-wise at that spot with the talent than they were entering the postseason a year ago. So people are confident that there is a lot of room for growth still. You know, defensively, I think their challenge right now is going to be the number two corner, because they lost their number two corner in Jalen Watson. So who's opposite Trent McDuffie? I think that's their biggest weakness. Maybe on the team right now, opposite McDuffie. And that will be interesting to see what they do, and they didn't end up doing anything before the deadline today. I think they did call New Orleans to check in on Lattimore, but that was too high of an asking price in their opinion to get a deal like that done that the Commanders did. But no, there's a huge chunk of fans here that believe the best football is definitely not here. Like, I think the Lions, who were playing better than anybody, guys, have peaked, right? I'm not saying they can't play like this the rest of the year, but to me, the Lions are playing their max output. I don't think Buffalo's playing max output. I don't think Kansas City's playing max output yet. And that's why people are really optimistic, other than just being 8-0.
It must be comforting that Travis Kelce seems to have come around.
No doubt. Yeah, I mean, my goodness, the last couple weeks, 16 targets last night. I think that's a clear sign of post-Rashee Rice injury. If you look at his numbers from the minute Rice went down, early in the season, when a lot of people are looking at Kelce and wondering, okay, has he finally hit that wall? Is age catching up to him? Rice was getting the underneath crossing routes. He's getting there quicker. He's younger. He was eating. I mean, his numbers were massive. The minute Rice went down, now we've seen the uptick in Kelce. So I think some of it is the route tree that they have him running is a little bit different. DeAndre Hopkins the last 2 weeks is definitely not hurt. My concern still, and I'm in the minority, I think, in Kansas City, is I don't think 16 targets is a formula I want to see the rest of the regular season for Travis Kelce. I think you do have to get off of that a little bit if you want to keep him healthy and fresh for the postseason.
What is the timeline on Pacheco, Alex?
The thought is end of the month. The Chiefs are notorious for slow playing injuries, knowing that they are in the postseason and going on deep runs a lot of years, you know, so they are a little more cautious than some other teams. If they continue winning and Pacheco is close, but not, you know, they see Kareem Hunt still doing his thing, I wouldn't surprise me if they hold him out another week or two. But right now, end of Thanksgiving time frame. But if they're still winning and Kareem Hunt's doing his thing, it wouldn't surprise me if they wait a little while. I think the thought here is that run Kareem Hunt. The reason why they're running Kareem Hunt into the ground with 27 carries already twice since he's joined the team is that they know Pacheco's coming back. And so I believe that'll be a 1-2 punch to protect both of them when they get Pacheco back.
When we've talked in recent seasons, the conversation, it's usually closer to the playoffs or during the playoffs, and we get to what the Bills represent to the Chiefs. The Bills have beaten Kansas City on the road 3 years in a row. It's been a lot of consolation in that, but they have done that. But then there's Cincinnati, and Cincinnati has the playoff win at Arrowhead Stadium. And maybe it's right, you would say, to think the Bengals have been more, worrisome for at least the fan base than the Bills. I don't know, right now in the AFC, Baltimore, I think, looks better than either the Bills or the Chiefs, but they have three losses. And then you have teams like the Steelers and, I don't know, maybe even LA that could be just annoying and could be a problem in the playoffs. How do you, Houston too, how do you see the conference overall, and who might be a threat beyond Buffalo and Kansas City for you?
So our producer, who's been with us for a little over a year now, he's a Cincinnati Bengals fan, and we've been going back and forth, giving a lot of crap about Cincy, because he's still under the belief that if they get in at even 9-8, that the Chiefs do not want to see Cincinnati. And I think a lot of that is based off of prior history and what you reference, which is, of course, Joe Burrow, other than Brady, is the only quarterback that has beat him, Mahomes, that is, in the postseason. And yeah, I hear you, but that was also – it's been a couple of years. How many years are we gonna go back to that? And so I don't take Cincinnati seriously, guys. Joe Burrow's playing great. Their offense is great. But this is not the same Cincinnati team defensively whatsoever. And unless I missed it, they didn't go out and add anybody at the deadline. That was Baltimore that added Tre'Davious White. So I don't take Cincy all that seriously. I also just don't think they're going to make it to the postseason, because I believe they're going to lose on Thursday. To me, this is a Baltimore and Buffalo conversation. I don't think Houston is taking a step that I thought they would take forward. That offensive line can't protect C.J. Stroud, and some of the injuries have really caught up to them. He hasn't elevated his game and guys around him the way we've seen a Josh Allen or Mahomes elevate players around him, around themselves. So I think this is a Buffalo, Kansas City, and Baltimore conversation, and it's really tough for me to look at Baltimore, because Kansas City with Mahomes is, 5-1 against Lamar Jackson? I'm not a big QB win-loss guy, but at some point it does matter in the postseason and overall. And so I still think Josh Allen is more dangerous in the postseason than Lamar, even if Josh Allen has also struggled in the postseason against Mahomes. But again, there's only two quarterbacks that haven't. So I think Buffalo is still the biggest threat, and then Baltimore, and then I would keep going down from there.
Really, it's Mahomes and the Bills' defense in these playoff games, where he's got something like 8 touchdowns and no picks and just really efficient.
Last year was 9 yards a play, or more than 9 yards a play offensively against the Bills in that playoff game. It was tough. How much concern is there moving forward about Mahomes' ankle? I'll cop to not knowing that he had been on the injury report with an ankle injury prior to last night when he stepped funny and looked like there was real drama and concern there. And then, they take a commercial and come back and he's jogging around and everything's fine. So we all saw that play out. Is that an injury that, we should be keeping an eye on?
I think it's something to keep an eye on. I mean, it's not going to prevent him from playing Sunday in Denver, but to the point what you said is he already had the injury. And then it got aggravated. And so I think this is something the rest of the season is going to be a problem in that regard, that it can be aggravated. We've seen this ankle injury at times throughout his career. It's another reason why I think the number one seed is so important for them in particular, to give an extra week since they had such an early bye this season. It's not going to keep them out, but it definitely would not surprise me if we see another moment, whether it's Sunday or 3 weeks, heck, against Buffalo in 2 weeks, where it gets aggravated again. But Chiefs fans for about 60 seconds last night had the same feeling they felt when Mahomes dislocated his kneecap against Denver years back. That's the only other time where I think Chiefs fans legit thought, all right, the season's over, this is it. And then, next thing you know, he's laughing on the sideline and all is fun.
They cut to Carson Wentz, of course, and he just jumps up. He's coming to life. He's looking spry. I'm ready. Let's go. And then a minute later, it's like, oh, guess not. Right. I guess that's actually not going to happen for me this time.
Yeah, no question.
Alex, do you have a thought on the Bills? It's been interesting here. I mean, in the offseason, it was mostly about their losses, right, with Diggs leaving and some veterans on defense and the division getting more respect at least. But here we are anyway, 7-2, 3-6. That's the top two records in the AFC East. And while they haven't always, I mean, the passing numbers have been kind of down. They haven't always looked amazing. They're getting it done. I wonder if you have a thought on just like their quality at this point.
So I thought they were going to win the division. I obviously didn't think it'd be by the margin that they're going to end up winning this. I was on with you guys this summer, I think, and we talked about the Bills then, and I said anybody kind of counting them out when you have a top three quarterback in football, you always have a shot. Your window's always open. Now, with that said, I didn't think they would be, to me, in contention to be, you know, one of the top two teams in the AFC. I thought there was a chance they slide back a little bit to where they're the third or fourth seed, where now it looks like they're going to be the one or the number two seed in the postseason. And then even just with the move, shipping out Stephon Diggs and the way that wide receiver room was going to look, if you would have told me that would have happened and Curtis Samuel would be essentially not contributing anything, I would have said, wow, this is, you know, how are they going to get this done? But Josh Allen's not making the mistakes and in the red zone. We've talked a lot about that here in Kansas City, that, you know, is that going to pop back up? Because right now, the way he's playing, that's a whole different level to Josh Allen's game. He's making great decisions. And then a lot of people here were bummed out when you guys traded for Amari Cooper. That was a name people wanted here. That was prior to them trading for DeAndre Hopkins. Now I think people are fine with DeHop. But at the time, everybody was like, why weren't the Chiefs willing to make that trade for Amari Cooper? And people are really upset, actually, about that. So I think that's what's interesting to me is Buffalo seemingly was maybe ready to, you know, in terms of roster-wise, take a half.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Step back, and then they kind of went back towards the middle of the table by trading for Cooper, and understandably so with the way Josh Allen's performing. And just across the entire AFC, guys, I mean, nobody looks great. I mean, this is not a year where we have a ton of juggernauts in the NFL, certainly not on the AFC side.
Right on. Well, thank you, Alex. Great to talk to you again, and I'm sure we will do another one of these when we get to January.
Hey, sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Alex Gold, out of 96.5, The Fan in Kansas City. Chiefs 8-0, Bills 7-2. Chiefs home to Denver this week.
Right.
And the Bills in Indianapolis. 1 o'clock games, both.
Nice to hear from him that Chiefs, like people who care about the Chiefs were like, hey, the Bills traded for Amari Cooper. Go do a thing. Come on. What are you doing? Why'd you let... Because, you know, it feels often living here like that only works one way. Because they're the champs, so everything they do, you know, see Xavier Worthy. Why are you doing? Will you let them do that? It's nice to know that it works both ways, at least occasionally.
Thanks to Worthy for his -1 in fantasy last night. Mm. Great. Needed 4.
Good job with the footwork on that one long one.
That was it. So early. It's like Davis against the Jets when I had the bet on Davis to score a touchdown in that game, and he gets stopped at the 1 twice on the first drive. Like, oh, you know, most people be like, oh, it's just a matter of time. Like, no, it doesn't work like that.
That was it.
That's what I thought of Worthy, too. Right. I just need 4 points. That was it. Maybe. The rest of the night, just clock just ticks by so slowly, and you're just waiting and waiting. Has a negative 10-yard rush. Ugh. Why do we play this game? Why do I need to have 237 teams?
Right, that was a trick play by Andy Reid that didn't work, by the way. That happened.
He overthought it.
Yeah, he did.
He must have overthought it, or else it would have worked.
And that little, they did try that little shovel to Kelsey last night, too, and that got shut right down.
He's getting cute.
Yep.
When it doesn't work, it's cute.
Yep.
When it does, it's brilliant. When it doesn't, it's cute.
Mm-hmm.
It can't be cute and successful.
And they still won.
803-0550. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, Bills and Colts Sunday. And we're talking about the AFC playoff picture, of course. The Sabres are home to Ottawa tonight. That'll be pregame at 6 with Paul. Ross Tucker will join us at 5 today, usual spot on Tuesdays. Lines are open for you next after the update here on WGR. Contest time. Caller 5 now at 716-221-4WGR. That's 4947. Wins a pair of tickets to see Sebastian Maniscalco at KeyBank Center next Saturday night, November 16th, courtesy of Live Nation. I assume it's an evening show. Most of these arena stand-up comedy shows are not in the afternoon.
I feel like if it was going to be a matinee, they would specify that.
Yeah. Tickets are on sale at Ticketmaster.com. Good luck.
Jordan Phillips, I guess, is our news today for the Bills.
Okay.
Released by Dallas, has really, really bottomed out. I think the Bills were right to move on from him when they did, like not keep him around. I mean, they tried that a second time, and he just couldn't really stay healthy and therefore wasn't very productive or helpful, and that hasn't really gotten any better. He was with the Giants, he got to Dallas by way of the Giants, and now, at least according to his Instagram, I don't see anything official from the Bills on this yet, but Phillips is, you know, taking a lap, announcing he's back.
Yeah, maybe he's just trying to speak it into existence, as they say.
Maybe. I mean, I think they do need depth there, but I'd be stunned if he does anything that is considered even borderline helpful. I just don't feel like he's a player at this stage in his career. If he does give you anything, I predict it doesn't last long because he won't be able to stay on the field. He's at that age. I mean, he's a big guy. He's busted it hard, and I don't trust his body at this point. So, familiar name who's made some splashes at times here, especially the first time he was here, but not a needle mover in any way for me.
Okay. So no more trades, it appears.
Right. I think we're far enough past it here. It was, you know, during our conversation with our buddy Alex Gold from KC, you know, there was Twitter activity going, hey, when we got Benjamin, it was like, you know, 15 or 20 minutes, the usual, it's usually Paul Hamilton's speech on trade deadline day. You know, well, it takes a little while sometimes past the deadline for these deals to get in and be made official by the league, yada, yada. I feel like we're past that point.
I will not rest until I get Schefter and Rappaport, presumably 9 seconds apart, both tweeting that it's officially closed.
Everything's done, right?
Yes. That's not over for me.
All right.
I don't expect trades. I mean, it's hard to ever expect trades. I'm glad the Bills got in the game at all with Cooper. You know, that's a while ago now, but at least they did that. Not a lot of cap space, you know. Not some of these guys, even Trey White, respectfully. Like, a lot of these guys, I don't think really make a big difference. You want them for depth, you know.
Sure.
Baltimore's down a couple of corners, and so you want to do that, but it's usually, I think, probably kind of desperate times. Dallas trading for a wide receiver today in Mingo is like, yeah, they lost Prescott, they might have lost Lamb, and the season's only half over, so, you know, we gotta do something.
Keep up appearances, but going to get a guy that can't really do anything with Carolina. I mean, there's quarterbacking issues there too, but still, it's not, he doesn't look like an established NFL player at this point, I wouldn't say, right, Mingo?
Not at all.
Right.
Not at all. I mean, undrafted guys have passed him on this Coker, for instance, with Carolina have passed him. So, you know, it's not just like Bryce Young or anything. Mike Williams is interesting today.
Mm-hmm.
I can never really quit him. He wasn't doing much at all for the Jets, and you had Rodgers, you know, kind of blow him up at that one press after the Bills game, the pass to Williams at the end of the loss to the Bills. So that isn't surprising. It might be good for Corley there. Corley was the guy who fumbled going into the end zone in the Houston game, but Lazard's on IR, and so for the Steelers,
gives the Steelers another guy for Russell Wilson to throw moon balls to. Like, that might be their passing game. It might just be, okay, Pickens or Williams, which one, you know, are there safeties on both sides of the field? Which one, maybe a single covered, throw it. I realize that's really boiling it down to a ridiculously rudimentary level, but that might be what their downfield passing game anyway looks like, because those guys are really good at that. I mean, Wilson got a lot of credit for, I think, in his second start, like, oh, it looked good. Yeah, the numbers look good. Pickens bailed him out a bunch of times. And, like, you know, great. That'll happen. You got those guys. You want to live on contested catches. You know, you're going to hit sometimes, but that's, to me, not a way to live.
Yep. If I'm a Steelers fan, I'm glad they're trying something like this. How about how many teams in the AFC, you know, made these moves, starting with Davante Adams, and then was it not the same day with the Bills and Cooper, and then you get to Hopkins, and that's a big, I mean, we have not seen Adams or certainly Cooper. I mean, it's only just been two games, and the second one against Seattle, he had one catch, so there's not been really anything too much of value yet when it comes to him. But Hopkins last night, two touchdowns and
big play down the field too. Yeah, he smashed last night.
And we'll see about Diontae Johnson with Baltimore. John Harbaugh said last week about him, expect him to play like 15 to 20 plays. And that's what happened. Like, he was actually right in that prediction. A coach, how about that? A coach telling you the kind of the truth when it came to Johnson. So he did not catch a pass, I think, for the Ravens. But I like the player. I like that for them. You know, I think back to those hockey days where you just want to feel, and this wasn't always easy for us, like your team is willing, and able.
They know business is being conducted today. The teams are trying to improve themselves. Let's get
in there. We should be in on it.
Right, let's try to get something done here.
It's such a lonely feeling for a fan when that's all happening around you, and those Sabres years where it just wasn't was pretty depressing. So good for the Bills on Cooper. It doesn't look like there's going to be anything else. Speaking of the Sabres, for some reason today, you know what popped into my head? Spacho Man.
Wow.
The song Spacho Man. I don't know what happened there.
What got turned over inside there that your brain went there?
I love trying to figure out how songs that are stuck in your head got there. And for me, this is not going to end in why I thought of Spacho Man. Okay. I don't know.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know. But it's usually words. Like, I'll be listening to a podcast or something when I wake up, and, you know, just have it on to fall asleep to, and then I wake up and something is still playing, and there'll probably be some phrase or something that would be the same in a certain song, and I'll end up thinking of the song. Spacho Man, though, I just can't. What is even the word Spacho?
Not a word.
I'm not listening to a podcast where they're talking about Spacho.
Right. But if you had some reference to the song that it's based on,
Macho
then
Man,
maybe you could get somewhere.
Yeah.
Even a mention of the YMCA in some podcast you were listening to could have triggered that, maybe. If words are what you think is the code for you that trips it.
I went to the bank. I don't think it was on in the bank.
I would bet on no there. Yeah. I would bet on no there.
It was not the song that was on in the bank. Or playing outside the gas station when today, for the third day in a row, I went to get air in my tires. That's going well.
Yeah.
That's going well.
You don't want to address that.
It looks like I'm not going to be able to get through this one just by putting air in the tire every day.
No, that's no way to live.
I'm excited, though, to have a gas station in my proximity where the air machine works, because that is annoying.
Yes.
I feel like maybe half the gas stations in the world or the country have an air machine and it's broken.
Yes. And I think that it's really, when it gets cold and you need air, it's a tough time for those machines that are left outside like that. Like, that's why they stop working. I think they probably thaw out and then work again, but it's a tough thing if you're, you know, looking for air in your tires and it's 20 degrees out. You know, not great. But yeah, I hear you. I know there was a place I stopped on my way here. I passed two that have had dependable air hoses outside, and the last time that I needed air in my truck's tires, the first place I you know, did the credit card swipe, whatever, and the machine didn't come on. And I'm just like, oh, you know, am I going to go in here now?
No, you're not, right?
And like say, hey, you know, your machine doesn't work. And they're going to say, well, it's not our thing. It's farmed out. I can't help you. Right. That's where that transaction. Just, I'll save you the time. Okay. The kid working or the retiree working behind the counter at the convenience store gas station is not going to be able to help you with the air hose if it doesn't work. Okay. So you're out the $2. All right.
This is good to know.
Just keep moving.
Good advice.
Go find another place that has one that is working. I've had one, a compressor in my garage, but it's all, I need to change that out. Last time I needed air in my tires, I ended up taking air out of my tires. Like, I thought I was inflating my tires, and I wasn't, and I was making them flatter actively. That's not where you want to be with your, when you need air in your tires. You're supposed to be at work in an hour.
No, or driving, chasing gas stations around.
Right.
Hoping,
right,
praying that one of them will have a functioning air machine.
And seeing the little you know, the graphic on your screen is telling you, you're down to 22.
22. I saw 22.
That's low. That's really low.
That's it. My number's 28. If it's less than 28, I feel like I have to stop. No. Is that too high? Should I be able to get around at 28?
I wouldn't suggest it. I mean, it's just bad. It's bad for the tires.
It's bad for the tires.
And it's also not optimal safety. It's not an abundance of caution.
At 28, 29, I'll just keep going. 27, I
would make plans to, if you're, it's not that cold and you got a leaker there. You better get that addressed. Because once we get to the cold, the real cold weather, that's going to be a real headache.
Yeah. No, I'm not going to do this every day.
Yeah, no.
I'm not going for air every day. Yeah, tempting fate by doing that. Mm. In more ways than one. I mean, that machine, I might be the one who breaks it.
That's right.
It's overuse.
It's not going to last.
There's one guy who comes here every day, and he's wearing out the air machine. I don't really want to have that on my conscience. Ross Tucker coming up in 20 minutes. Sabres and Senators tonight. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR. Welcome back, everybody. Ross Tucker will join us in 15 minutes. A must-listen-to segment, as Ross will tell you. He's told us that. He said that many times. How could anybody miss it when I'm on? Really, and I don't disagree. We have a hockey game tonight. The Sabres host the Senators. They are a small underdog at home against the Senators. Sounds like Zach Benson should be back in. Jiří Kulík back to Rochester.
Yeah, that would be the guy that would play, I think, if Benson weren't ready. So, yeah. I mean, I would have put Kulík in for Quinn already, but whatever. We're going back to the way they started, I guess, tonight. At least the top two lines. I think that speaks for the whole lineup, because Benson is going to ride with Cousins and Quinn. The top line with Paterka, Thompson, and Tuck is pretty set in stone, and I think they wouldn't mess with their third line. That's been one of their best lines, right? Mm-hmm. Zucker with McLeod and Greenway. So, yeah.
A little bit by default, the second line ends up staying together because it's not been great.
Yeah.
Then the Sabres are in New York to play the Rangers on Thursday night. What else? Do you know how much I dislike Joe Flacco? Did you know that about me? He is my, tied for my least favorite player in the league with Rodgers.
I guess.
Right there next to him.
I guess this has been a while since, like, last year, it really didn't come through during his comeback player of the year campaign.
Oh my God.
With Cleveland. So, but, you know, if I think back to when the debate was raging about whether he was elite or not, when he was still with Baltimore, this rings a bell for me that you've not been a fan of this player.
It really started, at least as I remember it, it really started with Lamar Jackson. Like, and Flacco, maybe it was before that season even started when they drafted Jackson. And remember Flacco making a comment about, like, yeah, I'm not going to be his coach. I'm not here to help him. Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here to play.
Sure. I've heard plenty of guys, including Rodgers, I think, say similar type things about young quarterbacks. But
it's like, what a thing to say, though, in public. Like,
right.
You can't, you're still so like insecure that you couldn't just find a way to say, like, sure, you know, he's part of our team. Yeah. I want to be
all for one for all.
Here for him.
I'll do what I can do. Even if you're lying through your teeth,
yeah.
Just say, like, well, I don't know. This just should make you like him.
No.
Because he was honest.
It doesn't.
He just told you that he told you how he felt. It's because you like Jackson so much that you don't respect that Flacco was honest to you in that moment.
I do like Jackson.
Yeah.
But no, I don't need honesty. Just isn't always, it's not constantly what I crave here. It's just, you know, come on. I mean, to say that is a lot, I think. So I don't know. I just get the, like, maybe it's mostly that. I get the sense that he's just kind of like fake. Flacco, that he's just about himself, and even in this situation, did you ever hear it? This is probably wrong. Like, I don't know very much about what the dynamics were, but I don't know. I guess I have my I'm set in my belief that he probably just wasn't there for Richardson very much.
I really don't mean to be acting like I'm like you're on the witness stand here, but saying he seems fake or phony while telling you how he really feels about how much he should or should not be helping his rookie quarterback partner Lamar Jackson, I don't think those two things really jive.
Mm. Well, didn't you say earlier because it was election day you can say anything?
Yeah, well, that's for sure. That definitely still goes.
I'm right.
Yes.
Sorry, I'm right.
So am I. Everyone's right all the time. America.
Ravens, Broncos, Jets, Browns, Colts for Flacco. And we figured out yesterday, because the internet helped us, it was there for us, that the Bills faced him twice when he was with the Jets. And then before that, it would be the three other times, I think it was, with the Ravens, including a couple of opening day losses in Baltimore. The one with Tyrod Taylor that... What was it? The first play of the game where he's got somebody running deep down the slot and doesn't throw it?
Yes.
And they lose a low-scoring game there in Baltimore, and then you have the Peterman debacle.
Yeah.
Those are Flacco games. Comeback player of the year.
Yeah. He deserved it.
Coming back from
being old.
Vacation.
Right.
Beating out DeMar Hamlin in a close vote.
But at least now they've changed the parameters for that, so we shouldn't have to deal with that again.
Yeah, what is it now? You can be coming back from an injury, so those guys...
I'm assuming that's what they did, but I don't care enough to really know. I'm just being honest. I mean, I know we cared about DeMar Hamlin, and it upset a lot of people at Flacco, and including me. I thought it was ridiculous that he won. So I'm assuming they've put it back to, like... You can't just be coming back from not being any good. There has to be some legitimate physical adversity that you've overcome in order to get back to your lofty status. You don't get to just come back from, you know, nobody wanting you to play for them.
You might, too. I remember the phone call we got when it was Geno Smith, when I'm not even sure he had won it yet, but we were just talking about this award, and just I remember being hot that Derrick Henry was favored. He'd already come back from his injury in the playoffs the previous year. Like, what is even the comeback? And so I mentioned Geno, I think, and a guy called up. He was great. He's like, you can't just come back from being bad. You know, it's not a comeback.
Right.
That's just like growth.
Yeah. You know,
most improved.
Yeah.
But it's not a comeback. You have to be good first. Yeah.
What's he coming back from? Being drafted by the Jets.
Right. Be good and then bad and then good. Okay, maybe that's what we want to do here. But now you can't just go from bad to good. That's not a comeback.
No.
Ross Tucker, you know he'd agree with that take. Ross coming up after the update. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, Sabre, Senators, pregame at 6 here on WGR.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it.
The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.